Awesome. Lots of hellos and hugs and high fives, and it's great to see one another. Everybody looks a little different in 2019. Maybe, or yes, I don't know. Yeah, we can clap for that. It's great to see you. I'm glad that you can be here this morning. If you want to keep chatting and hugging and high-fiving people, I encourage you to do so. I mean, if you did during the service, a little distracting, mostly for me, but afterwards during the fellowship hour, I would encourage you to, chit-chat, get to say hello. There's some new folks here, some folks that have been returning or been here in a little while, and say hi to someone, greet someone, say hello. I know all of us have our own kind of like folks that we know, maybe hang out with often, but it's nice to reach out and meet someone new and welcome them. This morning, I'll be sharing a message called Refocusing Priorities. I will be looking at a passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. You can turn there if you like, and it'll also be up on the screen. But I want to talk about priorities. I want to talk about refocusing. Some of you probably remember when it was really popular to have cameras, right? Just cameras. I'm not talking about cameras on a smartphone, but just cameras. And some of the cameras back in the day, and I'm sure there's still some that they'll use in professional photographers, you actually can refocus what you're seeing with a zoom feature. And so you can kind of put in the refocus, and you're taking a portrait shot, and maybe it's a little blurry or out of focus. You can spend some time refocusing. If you happen to have like a smartphone, at least on my device, you kind of like hit the screen, and it auto-focuses, and it's so annoying if you take a photo, at least to me, and it's like, it's out of focus. It's like, come on, this thing needs to get a perfect photo every time. And they almost always do, which is kind of crazy. But sometimes our photos can be out of focus. Sometimes our lives can be out of focus. Things are a little blurry, and maybe we notice, and we try to correct it, or maybe we got so used that it's out of focus, it actually is normal. For those who maybe wear contacts or glasses, I know I've experienced this where I let my glasses kind of wear down. I think my vision's normal, right? And then you go to the doctor and they give you some new glasses or contacts. You're like, I can see. I must have been, I don't know, not blind, but I thought I was doing life really well. I didn't run into that many trees. And now I'm like, wow, that was a rock. That wasn't a tree. You get to see things with a little bit more clarity. And so we want to do that in our lives. We want to focus and refocus specifically on Christ and his priorities. But as we're thinking about areas to grow in, and our vision here is growing together towards maturity in Christ, for 2019, I want to look at some areas that maybe you might be thinking about growing in this year. So I got this. This is an exhaustive list. There's more things you can grow in. But here's some places that maybe some of you are wanting to grow, or maybe thinking, oh, I'd like to grow in, just in a general kind of way. Maybe this year you're thinking 2019, I want to grow with maybe mental or emotional health. Maybe you realize that has not been a strong place, or it's a struggling place. You're like, I would love to put more focus or get help needed to grow in this area in a healthy way. Maybe looking at God honoring boundaries, or looking at ways of having margins, or maybe just looking at ways for mental health. A great way to think about growing in any area is to think of, who do I want to be on December 31st of 2019? So just fast forward your life a little bit. Just at the end of this year, who do you want to be? Or what do you want to be doing? And it's nice because if you're thinking, oh, I want to grow maybe in emotional health, or maybe for some, this is pretty big a lot of times, is physical health and fitness. Maybe you want to be at a certain physical weight or exercise goal. If you just think about at the end of the year, okay, this is where I want to be, you can kind of backtrack and be like, what are small little steps, little disciplines I can implement into my life that I can put to go forward? It's not rocket science. It's not anything new. But it is helpful if you're looking to grow in certain areas. I'll be focusing primarily mostly on spiritual growth in life. Other things that are helpful is family relationships. Maybe you have relationships that are okay, or maybe they're not great at all. You're like, I want to put some more energy into that. Maybe you're like, you know, I might have some social media friends, but I'm looking for more friends in real life, and you want to put some energy there, it's really great. And maybe you're like, I want to be more friendly, more inviting, want to be open to try to make some space for some friendships. Maybe it's not necessarily working harder at work, but maybe it's learning how to slow down and have some fun. Sometimes it's easy to have a lot more fun in work, and some of us probably can work too much and not maybe slow down, take a break, and breathe a little bit. Maybe for some, you're doing educational learning and starting up some new schooling or habits this year. Maybe you want to put more goals into your career or vocational focus. And maybe it's finances. Maybe you're like, I want to give more, or I want to get out of debt. I think in 2017, the average credit card debt was around like $15,000 average credit card debt. And so maybe you're thinking like, I really want to get out of debt. And there's a lot of verses that talk about that. Or maybe you're like, I want to save more. We can have all these different kind of goals. And I think it's really healthy to have goals to go for. As we approach, or as we're in a new year, I wonder what you think about the new year. Are you the kind of person right now, it's like, it's a new year, and it's like, Happy New Year! And you're just really excited about that. Are you here, maybe you're like kind of indifferent. You're like, it's a new year. Drop the happy. A new year. Or maybe you're just like, it's just another year. Last year wasn't great. The year before that was, we just turned the calendar. I'm not really actually hoping or having goals for much of anything. I want to encourage you that because of Jesus and the hope that he brings, there is hope to have in 2019. Amen? Amen. There is hope. So whether you're like on fire, like happy new year, or it's just indifferent, or maybe you're feeling really down, you're like, I don't even want another year. Know that there's hope to have in Jesus, that he can give you hope to grow in the things of him. But also, God's so practical. He can help you out in all these other areas. It's actually a great idea to think, how can I pursue Christ and grow closer to him? But how can I also honor God with my body, my health, my finances, my relationships, my mental, my emotional capacities, my work, my career? Am I honoring Christ in all these areas? Or maybe there's some areas that I don't really consider that. Or if people were to say, like, who's a Christian in one of these areas, you couldn't be identified. As Christ followers, there should be something unique about us in the way that we pursue Christ, want to be excellent in the things we do and everything, so that others can see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father in heaven. So think about these. Oftentimes, resolutions don't last. This isn't new. 80% of New Year resolutions end by February. So you only got like, 24 days and then you can quit. No, don't do it. You don't have to be the stat. There was another poll I was reading, a Business Insider, of 1,000 people. 94% of 1,000 people thought it was good if you keep a resolution for at least 1 month. Right? So as long as if you want that fitness goal, do it for 30 days and bail, essentially, and that's okay. I'm hoping some of us are taking, we started a prayer reset on January 1st. For those who are not familiar, we're doing, essentially, it's a 20-day, 20-minute challenge to spend just 20 minutes a day with Jesus in prayer. And I hope some of you might have started that. For those who have started and already have quit, I just want to say there is grace for you. No, seriously, just start up again. I know folks that's like, oh, I have this devotional, I haven't even started it, and I feel worse about it being on my shelf and collecting dust. Just start today. Really, there's grace to be had. It's great to start lifestyle habits, pursuing Jesus. And the idea behind this is that if we're all spending at least 20 minutes a day, and hopefully you'll be like, 20 minutes isn't long enough. I want to spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I want an hour. I just want more time with Jesus. I hope that would grow. But hopefully that'll become a lifestyle habit. But if you're missing a day or you haven't started, I encourage you, start today. There's lots of grace, but it does take small disciplines, whether it's spiritual growth, physical growth, financial growth, relational growth. Small little disciplines done consistently can yield great results for you in 2019. So I want to talk about the area of growing spiritually, which is often our focus, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, and refocusing priorities. So if you want to turn there, you can do that. I'll have it up on the screen in just a moment. The context right before we get to this passage is Jesus is speaking, and right before this, he's talking about serving God and or serving money and talking about having treasure in heaven. So it's a money context right before we get to this passage, and it's saying, hey, you can invest all your energy in the treasures on this planet, but they'll eventually just rust and they'll fade out, wear out. You can't have them forever. But those who build up treasures in heaven, you'll have them for eternity. And so that's the context right before. And the reason why I want to give you that is because verse 25 is going to start with a therefore, so you know exactly what he's talking about. So let's look at this morning. This is Jesus speaking, very well-known passage, and I hope you'll be encouraged and challenged this morning through it. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you spoke this to an audience 2,000 years ago. And God, thank you that it still speaks life to us today in 2019. Lord, I pray that we could hear from you, be encouraged and challenged to grow and look more like your son, Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. So I want to look through this section, just kind of like three parts as Jesus is talking with some reflective pieces throughout. So Jesus is talking, he's just talking about money, and he's talking about being anxious. And I know I mentioned this, I try to be as honest as possible and real as possible because I'm just another person. I never want to look like I'm up here. I'm just seeking Jesus with you, and I want to honor God. But I can deal a lot with anxiety. Can anyone else deal with anxiety? Everyone has anxiety? I'll just be honest. I can get anxious easy. If I'm not close to Jesus and spending time with him, Jim gets weird. I just get like all like stuck in my head, and things are weird, and body gets weird. I'm like, man, I need Jesus. So anyways, whether you're an anxious person by default or maybe not, sometimes you can get to places of being anxious. And for Jesus, who he's talking to, his listeners, they're talking about some of the things they're anxious about, or some of the, just the real needs of life, not the wants of life, but the needs. Sometimes we can confuse that, right? A need is a want, you know, a want is a need. And it's just like, Jesus, I need a want and the need. The cool thing with God, he cares about our needs, but he also sometimes just blesses us with things that we want too that aren't a need. We have such a good Heavenly Father. So it says, do not be anxious about your life, specifically a couple areas. What you will eat, that is a need. What you will drink, that is also a need. And it talks about your body, what you put on it, specifically clothing. But in this context, it's not talking about just having the Patagonia or North Face or Columbia kind of winter jacket. Like, I got to have the best, the cream of the crop. It's like the basic needs of having the clothing that would be needed to be worn, to be able to be well-clothed, to protect against environment and temperature changes and be able to sleep in that. It's the basic needs. For the audience that Jesus is talking about, there's a lot of anxiety and thought and worry going over towards, will I have enough food? Will I have enough to drink, enough water, enough things to drink? Will I even have enough things to wear to be protective while I sleep and in the temperature? And Jesus, he just loves using just illustrations, and I could just see him maybe teaching on, he's on a mountain or a hill, teaching, just looking out, maybe some birds nearby, but he just looks right at what's near him. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. We recently, on our Christmas Eve service, I know many of you were here, maybe some of you weren't, but there's a really fun skit. I think I got like a, yeah, little image in the background. There's a really fun skit. We had David Stauffer, which is, yeah, he's right over there. Then we have, is Pam Thompson here today? I don't know if, maybe she, okay. And then Bob Ludlum was narrating. He has like this amazing like radio-like voice. It's amazing. But yeah, the three of them were doing this really fun skit and play. And the main part I just wanted to highlight was there's this really neat part where the character David Stauffer was playing was really, really concerned and really loved birds. Do we have any bird lovers here this morning? And he got, oh, Yeah, awesome. So you know the difference between like a blue bird and a blue jay and Blu-ray? I don't know. Maybe that's not a bird. Okay, I love birds, just don't know a lot. Anyway, Jesus is talking about birds, and in this play, there's a part where these little birds popped up in the window, and it was just so fun and comical and awesome. They look so cute. They're like flying around. But David's character was really concerned about the birds. There's a storm, and he wanted to get them into a safe place. And he did. At the end of the play, you see that, and it's cool because he had a heart transformation as well, encountering Jesus. But God cares about his creation. He does care about the birds he's created. But that's not just the point Jesus is making. He's making the point that if Jesus cares for, or God cares specifically for the birds, which they don't sow, they don't reap. The Stauffer farm is not employing birds to do all your harvesting this year, right? Local farmers or not, we got a great idea. Sell the tractor, we're getting a flock of birds. That's not going to happen. They don't do any of this. They don't put all away what they store into barns. But God cares for them, and he provides for them. And he goes on to say, Jesus says, are you not of more value than they? Jesus is giving a reminder when we can get so anxious about looking at the day-to-day practical things of life, to remember that God sees you as incredibly valuable. He sees you of infinite worth. Can you just bear with me for a moment? Could you just look next to you? If there's someone next to you, can you just say, you're of great value? Can you say that to somebody? Awesome, cool. And if there's no one next to you, you are of great value. So just in case you're like, nobody told me that, I feel terrible. at the church, nobody told me it was a great value. Man, if you're about, yeah, you're a great value as well. I want to remind us of that. One, that regardless of what you think about yourself, if you think you're invaluable, or actually not invaluable, but you have no value, know that God sees you as valuable. Get this. If you are pursuing Christ and you've fallen down and tripped up and you're looking down at your mistakes, know that God sees you as valuable. If you are running 180 away from Jesus and don't even care about him or think he does not even exist, know that you are still incredibly valuable to God. It's great to know what God values, and he values people, he values you. It's also great for us to know that God values people, because we just said that in a fun way to one another, and I hope it was meaningful. But it's great for us to remember, as we're doing life and day to day, that the people we interact with, that we know, don't know, like, and dislike, God values all of them. And if we want to have a heart that has a priority focus like Jesus, we got to realize that God values people. And a good question to think of at this moment, how do I value people? Do I value people the way God does? Do I value people that love me? Do I value people that don't even care about me? Jesus values every single person. We also want to value people, and that's why Jesus came, to restore and rebuild a relationship with those he valued. Moving on, it says in verse 27, it says we're going to think about anxiety and worry and this focus on just really material things that are needed. Jesus says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? Isn't that so true? You're really anxious. Maybe this morning you have something that's weighing on you heavy. Maybe there's some area you're like, yeah, I do have a financial or relational or health issue or something else. It's just weighing. You're anxious and you're just like, it's weighing heavy. It doesn't seem to add time to the clock, right? That would be great, because I would have a million years. it's like, man, look at the clock, it's going. It would just keep adding up. But we know that worrying does not benefit or profit in anything. It doesn't bring about a new result, especially things that we can't control in the moment. In other translations, it says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to their stature? Essentially, can you even make yourself taller? And I had to be honest, I probably would be reaching to the moon if my anxiety could give me height. And maybe some of you would be up at the moon too, waving at me. So it's like, it doesn't add time, it doesn't add height. The point is, it doesn't add actually anything productive or helpful. So what can we do with this worry? We can remember that you are valuable, and there is a God that cares for you, and know that we can realize that he knows the needs that we have even before we bring them to them. Now I want to go to the next part. So then Jesus, he was looking at the birds of the air. Now he's looking at the lilies of the field. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? Specifically hitting on this. He says, look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spend. They're not putting work into making this happen. And yet, they are beautiful. And he references an old king in the king in the Old Testament, Solomon, who, when he was younger, God asked him, "You can ask anything you want." What a cool invitation by God, right? Ask of anything. And so Solomon said, "Well, I'd love to have wisdom." So God gave him wisdom, and he said, "Well, because you didn't ask for money or for riches or anything else, I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to also give you all the other things you didn't ask for." Isn't that pretty cool? I was just like, what a neat interaction with God. So he got this amazing wisdom. He's like the wisest man in the Old Testament. He had a lot of wisdom. But as we might know, you can have wisdom, but the question is, do you act on the wisdom you know, right? We can know a lot of things. It's like, am I actually? And Solomon made some really wise decisions. He made some really poor decisions, not based on wisdom, but actually against the wisdom he knew. But anyways, he was incredibly wealthy. Other kings and leaders from other countries would come and just trade all these different spices and wood and gold and silver, and he had like tons of money. His kingdom was incredible. It was magnificent. And so Jesus is looking at the lilies of the field and then talking about this Old Testament king who is incredibly wise, incredibly wealthy and rich, and just that not even in comparison to all of Solomon's glory was these lilies even top that. And so as Jesus is focusing on the lilies of the field and how they even go beyond Solomon's splendor, he reminds us that if God is so concerned about clothing the grass of the field, and I don't know where this picture was taken, but it's really pretty. If you ever look out at a field and just see like lilies or flowers growing, wildflowers, it's gorgeous. But it's short-lived, and it talks about which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Some of this will be used as kindling and just kind of get the fire going. Short-term, beautiful growth of these lilies. And once again, he says, "Will he not much more clothe you?" First time he's talking about anxiety and being valued. Now he's saying, Jesus is saying, "Oh, you of little faith. Do you have faith that God is going to provide? That God values you? That he cares for you like a good father? That he knows what you need?" Jesus is stressing, God values you more than the birds. He wants to provide for you even beyond the beauty of the lilies, beyond Solomon's splendor. We see the lilies of the field, that God cares for you. And the question is, in this portion, is what does your faith look like in God? Is it a kind of a little bit of a faith? Is it a faith that, God, you can do anything, and I'm going to trust in you with everything I am? Is it a small percentage? Is it all percentage? Is it 100%? I was reading a scripture this morning in Luke. It talks about even the faith of a really tiny seed, a mustard seed, can move mountains. Even a little bit of faith in God. It's amazing because the faith isn't in our abilities. It's in God's abilities. So sometimes it's like just a little mustard seed faith can move a mountain. It's like, God, do I have a little bit of faith that you can provide for what is needed in a miraculous way? A story I just wanted to share for a moment. I've shared it before, but I think it's pretty awesome. It just glorifies God. When I was at Bible school in, 12 years ago? Yeah. I was going there. God told me to go there. I had confirmation. I went there. And while I was there, my first semester was going really well, but with some of the just financial trends and what was kind of going on in our country, my dad lost his job, which was paying for my brother and my tuition full. It was super easy to go there until my dad lost his job. Then it was very, very difficult. At the end of the semester, we were asked to leave, my brother and I. We didn't have enough money. They're like, "You owe us $5,000, and we didn't have any money. So we had to pack up finals week, get in our minivan, drive 7 hours to New Hampshire. It was devastating. So we're driving home. You're just wondering, God, you called us there. You wanted us to be there. I don't understand why the job thing happened. I don't understand why you didn't provide for us." And we were in a place of just sorrow. And I would love to say we're in a place of like strong faith, like God's going to provide. But I personally wasn't. I was just like, God, why have you forsaken me? Because I didn't see the provisions going the way I thought they should. Now, God is such a good provider. Because when I grew up in Connecticut, my dad had a software company he started. And he had like these yearly things that people would pay him for something. Anyways, it's been like 10 or 15 years since he had that company. We're in New Hampshire, and we had 30 days to get $5,000 to be able to go back to school. On the 29th day, an old client my dad had said, hey, I was looking through some books. I guess I just owed you $5,500 from 15 years ago. I just saw I sent the check over. Who does that, right? I'm looking through old records. Oh, I owe someone money, you know? It's like, I don't want to, yeah, no, they sent that on over. So on the 29th day, get this. A check comes in for $5,500, unexpected. It just blew us out of the water, right? So that $5,000 allowed us to pay to go back to school, but we also needed $500 for books for the new year. The exact provision amount and future provision. It was amazing. I was blown away. I'm going to be honest. I was not rocking out superhero faith in Jesus. I was like, Lord, you have forgotten me, or what have I done wrong? I was getting into weird theology, but God's like, I'm a good provider. It's cool because God set that up years in advance, that client would have a bill that he would overlook and then see it 15 years and then send my dad the check and we're able to go back. I want to talk about that God is a good provider. He values you. But the way he provides for our needs isn't always the way that we think it should be provided. Are you with me? It's sometimes, most often I've seen, it's not on the timetable that we want. Right? But God is so committed to us growing to look more like Jesus that even though our life sometimes with Jesus can even get harder, but may our faith in Jesus get stronger. So even when our life and challenges can get harder, may our faith in Jesus get stronger. And that was a growing moment. Like if you're in the gym and you're trying to lift some more weight, that was a real stretching growth moment, right? It's like spiritually growth. That's what we're trying to do. And I just see God provide. I know if you went around probably and had a moment, I'm sure we could hear testimonies of provision again and again and again. Small ones, large ones. But we have a God who provides. We have a God who cares. Let our faith be not in our resources and our abilities, but let our faith be in God's resources and his abilities. So I want to move on to like the last little section here where Jesus is talking. In verse 31 to 34, gets back on this theme. Do not be anxious, recapping what he said before, what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. And then he talks about for the Gentiles, or other translations use the word pagans. Those are just those who do not follow God. They're doing their own thing. They're not following after God. So those who are just doing their own thing, not following God, they seek after all these things. The needs, and that is like the priority focus. The material needs I need for life, that is my number one focus. And I love verse 32b. It says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Sometimes we can forget that God knows what we need. And if you're in a place where you think, I know my needs better than God, anxiety, fear, worry, anger, judgment starts to build because we can forget that God does know my needs even before. He can set up resources to provide even before I knew there was going to be a need. God, help me to focus on you and your kingdom. And Jesus says that in verse 33. He says, but seek first. So instead of seeking after all those things that those who don't know God go after, and honestly, as Christians, I think it's very easy for us daily, if we're not active, to be slowly lured into just seeking after everything else everybody else wants. Are you with me? Right? That our life as a Christ follower can match those who don't know Christ, that you can't even tell the difference. We can kind of get lulled into just matching what the culture looks like instead of going into a new culture that Jesus has set. Or as there's a band that's called Jesus Culture, really focusing on the new culture that Jesus has made. But we want to seek first the kingdom. So instead of making our number one priority day to day, our material needs and our focuses, whether they're our needs or our wants, the things we're anxious about, excited about, but focusing on Jesus. And the first thing is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it's so interesting. I heard it once. It's like, as you seek after God, all those things will just kind of follow after you. Where before, if we're seeking after those things only, it's like we're almost like chasing after like a carrot sometimes you can't reach. And there's anxiety and there's worry and it's lacking of joy. But there's a real peace with God. I have some needs. I know you know those needs. I'm trusting God that you will provide. Lord, would you show me if there's anything I need to be doing to be in a position to receive or to work these things out. But if it's just a waiting game, Lord, could I have peace to wait on your provision and on your timing? God knows your needs. God values you greatly. And he cares about each one of us individually as well as collectively. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus made his focus the Heavenly Father's focus. And as Christ followers, we need to daily make sure that our focus does not settle on the things of just this planet. We do want to be active in the things of this planet, but we want to do it with a priority that focuses on God first. I just want to ask you this moment as we're here, what does your priority look like? What do you prioritize most? And if you have trouble thinking about that, what do you think about most? What do you desire most? Where do you want to spend most of your time? If you could spend time with anyone, who would you spend it with? When we think about that, it could sometimes give us a little bit of a help of where is my heart after? Is my heart after focusing on Christ first in everything? Or have I lessened God to a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or below priority? Am I living for Christ first? Or am I trying to simply fit God into my day or my week in a convenient way for me? It's so easy to get to that place if we're not actively seeking God first. So I want to encourage you, if you find that right now your priority is not God, it's a great place to ask God, Lord, would you forgive me? I have not put you first. God, would you give me strength and grace to put you first? All of us, we can stumble, we can fall, but God is wanting to help us in this pursuit of seeking him first. When we realize that, God, you do care for me, you do know my needs, it really does free us up to have kind of this radical approach of, God, I want to be part about your kingdom. And Jesus' kingdom was loving God, loving others, caring for those who lacked, the poor, the widow, the orphans, those who were oftentimes pushed away by society and the religious leaders. I've been reading the Gospel of Luke, and it's so neat that like Jesus would oftentimes be called a friend of sinners, because he would hang out with prostitutes and those who extorted money, tax collectors and other sinners, and he would have dinner with them. He'd hang out with them. He would let them know that they're incredibly valued. He let them know that their sins were forgiven. He let them know that he'll heal them. He would be there for them. And as we think about seeking God's kingdom first, do we have that kind of focus that, God, I want to be Christ to my neighbors, to my family, to my coworkers, that I want to be available at any moment to be used by you and for you? If there's just one person in a company or a school that's on fire for Jesus, you can radically transform that community. But Jesus doesn't call us just to do solo kind of Christianity. He calls us to do it together. And that's why our vision here is growing together towards maturity in Christ, that if all of us individually but collectively are growing towards Jesus, seeking his kingdom first daily, asking God, whenever you wake up, whether that's in the morning or the morning that comes after lunch, God, today's your day. I surrender to you. I got my plans, but I want your plans to prosper before mine. Lord, is there a conversation, some way I can help, some way I can give, some way I can care, stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves? But daily, if we're asking God, I want to seek your kingdom first and your righteousness. It might look different each and every day, but if we're available, the impact is just limitless. To think of what God can do in us and through us together. Verse 34 talks about, once again, about being anxious. And it's such a great statement. I love going to this one. But it says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Isn't that so true? Right? We can get so worked up about tomorrow that we're not seeking God today. We get so worried about next week that we're not seeking God during the week, right? God, what's going to happen in the summer? What's going to happen at the end of this year? It's great to plan and bring it before God, but we only can live one day at a time. So let's give each day to God. A couple of thoughts as just wrapping up. I want to invite up the musicians as we'll be wrapping up in a song. But what do you worry about? If you're dealing with anxiety, stress, worry, I would just encourage you to name it and to give it to the Lord. submit that to Jesus. Next question is, do you truly believe that God knows what you need? If you doubt that, anxiety and worry will just grow. But if you really trust God, you do know what I need. And Lord, I'm active in doing what you call me to do. God's not like an enabling God. So if he's asking us to do certain things and we're not doing it, sometimes we just got to realize we need to start some things that God has asked us to do. That's just on good stewardship. But Lord, do I believe that you know what I need and you can provide? And lastly, what does seeking God first look like in your life daily? For some of us, and hopefully a lot of us, if you're doing the prayer reset, the 20-minute challenge, that is a great way to refocus your priorities daily. 20 minutes, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, or evening, or maybe you're like, I want to start doubling up. I want to do morning and evening, or some people do morning, midday, and evening, whatever. Have fun. But it's a great way to refocus. Am my priorities lining up with Jesus? Am my words lining up with Jesus? Are my actions lining up with Jesus? Are they overflowing? And the whole idea about being with God, it's supposed to overflow into the way that we interact with others, that others can see Christ in us. And lastly, if you have lifted any other priority above God, I would just encourage you to ask God for forgiveness. In the Old Testament, the word for that would be idolatry, the idea of lifting up anything, a person, a thing, a material above God, and making that your focus for life is called idolatry, lifting up anything or anyone. If you realize there's something else, and maybe it's not even a bad thing, maybe it's just a good thing, but it's just the priority focus for the way you think and live your life, and realize, God, I want you to be the priority. I love how the psalmist David said, one thing I seek after, to be in the presence of God. The one thing focus. God, if I lost everything but still had you, then I have everything I need. That's when you know you have that one thing, that God, I would give up everything for you. Then you realize none of these things are my priority number one. God, you're my priority number one. I encourage you, just be honest with God. Ask for forgiveness and then ask God for grace to be able to put him first. As we grow together this year, we want to keep growing in community. There's small groups that are starting. I encourage you to be part of one if you're able to. My wife and I are talking about ways of maybe trying to do a family group. It's hard if you have young kids to go to any small groups, right? Because little kids kind of can take over a group. So we're looking at what does a little kid takeover group look like. summer outreaches. In the summer, we try to really connect with our community. This past year is really exciting. 6 years in the making, but I know there's resources provided here and also just work power that was provided for the New Hope Transformation Home that opened December 1st in Canton. I know it's a big thing. John, 6 years, right? Can we give glory to God? 6 years. Just wonderful. Helping ladies coming out of rehab have a place to go. That's Christ-centered. For those who have been supporting, we have volunteers both locally and in a community with our snack pack program, which is currently how many children are being fed? 252. Can we give God the glory? 252 students. Yep. Opportunities to care, to love, to share Jesus. We're looking to also grow in this year. We want to keep, obviously, glorifying God, sharing Christ, seeing people know the new life, the new hope that we have in Jesus in practical ways. But we also want to know, what does it look like to biblically respond to needs we see in our country and our world, specifically to justice-related. And in February, Ben, do we have a date on that? February 10th. February 10th, Ben Stauffer and Bob Snow will be leading a class that looks at how do you biblically respond to social justice issues? Because maybe you've been looking at the news and wondering, what does it look like not to respond primarily from a biblical place, or not biblical, sorry, political, but respond from a biblical place? That can inform political stuff. But what does it look like biblically to deal with social justice issues? That'll be coming up February 10th. I encourage you to be part of that. We'll have some more information coming up on that. Also, I just want to encourage you, as we go in this year, it is a gift and joy to just be together and open up our hearts and open up our homes or our apartments to one another. Some of us do this pretty regularly, but if you have not gotten in the habit of just doing life together, there is such joy. A lady that many of us know, who's not here now, she moved, but someone who just excelled at this with such joy was Jamila, who she had her apartment in Swan Landing with her three daughters, single mom. was a refugee. I think the word we probably use for her now is dear family. But she just opened up her apartment with the resources she had. And I tell you, you were treated like royalty. I know many of us got to go over there. And she said this, and I always remember it. She says, Jim, it is always more of a blessing for me to open up my house and feed people a feast than it is for just people coming. The blessing is in the giving, not necessarily the receiving. Mm. And isn't that so true? That it is more blessed to give than to receive. As we look in this new year, what would it look like to just invite those around, maybe their neighbors, community, on the campus? We're blessed to have a bunch of international grad students here. Hey, come on over. Let's just do life together. Enjoy one another. I encourage you. If you don't have a lot of friends, you're looking for new friends, great way to do that is be friendly. So I want to just wrap up in prayer, and then we'll close in a song in a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that you value us. Even before we ever thought to value you, you value us. And God, I pray that we would value you and others. God, I pray that our priorities could be on you, not just on January 6th, but all throughout 2019, until you come back or we go to you. God, may our priorities be focused on your kingdom and your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.